Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little boy named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed, naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Canada, and I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. Thanks for supporting us for the past 100 episodes. Don't forget to subscribe and give us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also support us by visiting our Patreon page, where you can find out how you can join us for our monthly patron webinar, where we do a deeper dive discussion about all things perimenopause.
The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast. This is Dr. Tony, and I'm with Dr. Lisa.
Hi, Tony. Hi, everyone. My voice is really high right now. I'll bring it down a few octaves. Okay, there we go. That's better.
There we go. I was going to say, I even feel like my voice is a little bit different today, but it works out perfectly because today we thought, you know, it is March. We're kind of in the thick, at least here in Canada, in the thick of like cold and flu season. So let's talk a little bit about how perimenopause impacts our immune system. And, you know, not only do I talk about kind of what can happen with our immune system when we're in perimenopause, but even just like the hormone fluctuations that we can happen, that can happen not only in perimenopause, but even before and after, that can really impact our immune system. And some people are surprised to find out that our hormones impact how your immune system can function and take care of, you know, the bacteria and the viruses that we're exposed to in order to support your health. And this is something that we have to manage, as well as even thinking about, again, how our kids may bring home all of the different bugs from school or what have you that we are exposed to as well. So, you know, as you know, as perimenopausal mamas, you kind of get it both ways. You know, you're exposed more through your kids, but then also looking at how our hormone fluctuations, impact our immune system. That's like two ways that we can really be impacted, especially at this time of year.
Sure. Yeah. I feel like this winter has been challenging for me because I've had strep throat. I had COVID for the second time. I've had a cold. Like, I was like, we got to do an episode on hormones and immune function. Like, really, I feel like my immune system's good. Having a son, obviously, in school and aftercare and camps and stuff, he brings home a lot more germs than I would normally be exposed to. But there definitely is a link, right? And it's interesting, like, because when we're in those reproductive years, estrogens, you know, at its most highest, like at the level it's supposed to be at, I should say, at the right times, at the right amount. And we have a stronger immune system. And, you know, is this nature's way of saying, okay, you're in the reproductive years, you're going to, you know, potentially keep the species going and reproduce and have offspring. And then once we hit perimenopause and menopause, it's nature's way of saying, meh, you don't need as strong of an immune system. Maybe you're not as important to us. I don't know. That's kind of what it feels like, right? But we'll unpack what estrogen does and how the hormones play a role. But, you know, I think obviously we're still worth being around, but it's just, you know, something that happens as our estrogen levels and our hormone levels decline. We do become more susceptible to getting sick, and it can take a little longer to get better, right, Tony?
Yeah, shoot, Lisa, I never thought about that as like nature's way of saying like, F you, you're done. Oh, boy.
Maybe that's a little too dark for today. Okay, let's lighten the mood a little bit.
It is a little dark, but, and thankfully we're living in a time where there are things that we can do we are not at necessarily the whim of nature. And there are ways that we can really support our immune system as we age so that we can really age healthfully and gracefully. And absolutely, Lisa, you know, estrogen has plays a huge role, and there's other hormones that play a huge role as well. Estrogen really has been shown to boost kind of two major players in fighting off, you know, kind of viruses, bacteria, other pathogens, and it boosts both our B cell and T cell function in our immune system. And so this is where, of course, with the hormone fluctuations that happen in perimenopause, you know, estrogen can go up and down. And we know also estrogen will naturally go up and down during our menstrual cycle as well. You know, there are some women out there who find that, you know, that second half of the menstrual cycle, they find that they're more likely to get sick or feel sick. They're more susceptible to getting colds and that kind of thing. And potentially, again, that could be a piece of it, is that estrogen going down. And of course, we don't necessarily want too much estrogen or too much of a boost of the immune system either, because then again, you know, immune system overactivity is not necessarily a good thing. You know, we don't necessarily want estrogen dominance or excess estrogen, which then turns into an autoimmune response where your immune system starts attacking your own cells and producing antibodies against yourself. So while, you know, with perimenopause, again, there can be those fluctuations of estrogen. And then, again, towards the end, the estrogen really starts to lower overall, as well as the progesterone lowering, too. And I mean, with progesterone and the immune system, it can kind of lower inflammation, which, you know, can be a great thing. But as we reduce progesterone, there can be more inflammation that, you know, can really trigger the immune system to fight off pathogens. And again, sometimes, again, that inflammation can go overboard, especially when we're talking about stress. Right, Lisa?
How many, you know, of us perimenopausal moms are juggling all the things, caring for kids, caring for parents, trying to keep up the pace we kept, you know, in our 20s and 30s without any problem. But I think, you know, this is the time to really listen to our body and take rest time, take those breaks. Like, I know for me, when I get sick, if I just try to keep pushing through and keep working, keep my activity levels at the same, it's going to take me longer. It's hard, but I'm teaching myself, it's a process, how to slow down and still get the stuff done that I need to if I'm feeling like I'm getting sick, but not trying to kind of ignore and push through. You know, I still take the herbs and the vitamins, but the rest has been so key for me, because we know with cortisol, like, so if our progesterone and estrogen, you know, estrogen's kind of up and down, progesterone's lowering consistently, cortisol appears more dominant, right? So we can feel more overwhelmed, easier to get stressed out about things. And then our immune system also starts to ignore that cortisol, because it's like, well, this cortisol is always high. Before I was listening to it, and the immune cells are doing what they were supposed to do, but your immune cells are like, oh, this is weird. It shouldn't be high all the time. I'm going to ignore this cortisol. So then you're not getting the benefits of that cortisol anti-inflammatory signals that you would get. And then there would be the high inflammation, more potential for autoimmunity, immune problems, and illnesses too. So it's, you know, we need the right amounts of the hormones at the right time. But this, I like to call it, like, instead of like a symphony, classical music of our hormones in our 20s and 30s, where there's this orchestration of everything working together, this is the time of like jazz music, which still could be good, right? But it's unpredictable and all over the place. And then our immune system can become unpredictable and do things improperly or not what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people just don't even realize how our stress hormone cortisol is anti-inflammatory. It does reduce inflammation in the body. And in that sense, it can suppress your immune function because we need a certain amount of inflammation. We need a certain amount of immune function and immune response to deal with, you know, viruses, bacteria, that kind of thing. And again, you know, when that's always suppressed, then again, that signaling can really be thrown off. And that can be just when we have that chronic stress that where we aren't getting that rest, we're not going between, you know, our fight and flight and our rest and digest and repair mode, that can just really throw off so many things and does create a lot of damage that, you know, is kind of left, you know, not repaired. Opposite of cortisol, something that I talk a lot about with hypnosis and hypnobirthing, is our oxytocin hormone. You know, that's our oxytocin is kind of our, what we think of as our love hormone, our connection hormone, the hormone where it, that is connected to those warm, fuzzy feelings that we have, really helps to lower stress, anxiety, cortisol, and can actually really help to reverse some of those negative effects that chronic stress can have on our immune function. So there's actually research that has been shown where, you know, our receptors for oxytocin actually play a part in really supporting our immune defenses. So, you know, whatever gives you those warm, fuzzy feelings are great to do, you know, cuddling up with the loved ones, or again, if you know, fur babies, as well as maybe, you know, whatever age your babies are at home as well, or partners, all of those things. Yeah. You know, the cuddles, and of course, as we know too, we can get a good boost of oxytocin with sex as well.
Great news, right? So there's some fun homework for everybody. When you have an orgasm, it helps your immune system. So it can be with a partner, it can be, you know, by yourself. Of course, you'll probably get extra benefits of more oxytocin when it's with somebody else too, but kind of a win-win there. And then I do notice a lot of patients too, if they are not ovulating, which we've talked about can happen as we're approaching perimenopause, you can still get a period, but you're not making that progesterone. A lot of patients feel flu-like symptoms a day or two before their period starts. Even if they're not sick, it's because they haven't made that progesterone, which keeps inflammation and what's called inflammatory cytokines in check. So it's pretty amazing. That could be a sign maybe you didn't ovulate, or if you ovulated, you didn't make enough progesterone from that ovulation. But so many people say, yeah, I feel like I'm going to get sick the day or two before their period. If they're exposed to an organism, they're probably more likely to get sick. But even if they don't manifest into anything, they still feel like they're getting the flu.
That's such a great point, Lisa, because it's not necessarily the pathogen or the virus or bacteria that causes the symptoms of us feeling so crappy when we're sick. It's actually our immune response. It's our inflammatory response. It's kind of the all of the chemical activation in our body, the cytokines, you know, our lymphocytes, all of those, the processes that really help to support our immune cells to, you know, fight where they need to fight. And so absolutely, that's a really important point, is like, you may be feeling crappy because it's a virus, or you may be feeling crappy because it's this inflammatory response that's happening, even if you haven't been exposed to a virus or not necessarily fighting off a virus.
For sure. Yeah. Let's unpack inflammation for people that, you know, people hear inflammation and they think bad, and they hear cortisol and they think bad, but it's not that, you know, dichotomous, I should say, because we need the right amount of cortisol at the right time. And we need inflammation. Like if you bang your finger or cut your finger, what happens, right? Blood flow goes to that area. There's redness, there's heat, there's swelling. That's mobilizing the immune system to help you recover from that cut, from that injury to that area. But, you know, it should resolve itself and heal and get better. But when inflammation becomes chronic and unchecked, So let's say you hurt your finger and, you know, it's months later, but you still have inflammation in the joint. That can be chronic inflammation. And we can have inflammation triggered, as you said, Tony, by viruses, bacteria, pathogens, but also by things in our diet. If we're eating the wrong foods for our body, by having the wrong gut microbes, by having our hormones out of balance. So inflammation can be a good thing if it's appropriate amounts at the appropriate times, but our body should then heal and recover and repair, and that inflammation goes down.
Absolutely, for sure. It's so important to really recognize that, yeah, it's not like stress is bad, cortisol is bad, inflammation is bad. It really is a balance, and it is, you know, our bodies are dynamic that way. You know, you need some dark for there to be light, and that's kind of the same with our body too, I guess. You know, one other kind of hormone neurotransmitter that is involved as well is that actually I was really surprised to learn about just when kind of prepping for this episode, is how serotonin, it can really impact how our immune system responds as well, and kind of furthers that immune response and that inflammatory response. So it's, you know, our happy hormone, our happy neurotransmitter. And so if we're not necessarily getting that serotonin activation, then are we really having that proper immune response as well? Which is interesting, because also the vast majority of our serotonin is not produced in our brain, but is produced in our gut. And yeah, the fact that over half estrogen. Over half of our immune systems in along our digestive tract. So yeah, it's interesting how all these things are connected, right?
Yeah, that's right, Tony. And we need estrogen too to make serotonin, and, you know, to increase the number of serotonin receptors in the brain. So it all kind of fits together. And then, you know, in terms of reaching perimenopause and menopause, you know, with some of the symptoms, with the overwhelm, with the stress, it may be also, you know, additional factors that can weaken our immune system is lack of sleep, whether you're staying up late, burning the candle at both ends, your kids are up, you're up worrying about your kids if they're out late, or if they're sick, they're waking you up. If you're getting hot flashes at night with the hormonal change, you have snoring partner. We know that sleep is so key for our immune function too. If we don't get enough sleep, we have a chronic like inflammatory state, and then we have an increased risk of getting sick. And I think most people know this, right? If you go a while without getting enough sleep or good quality sleep, you're more likely to catch that cold bug, that flu bug, COVID. So we want to make sure that we're optimizing sleep through sleep etiquette and routines, but also dealing with any of the sleep disrupting factors, whether it's because of the hot flashes, is it because of anxiety, is it because of aches and pains in your body, or you're getting up to pee all the time at night. So we definitely want to address that, because it's so key. And you know, it's a good thing that we can do for so many other things as well, but to keep that immune system in check, it's so important.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, because there's even been research when looking at sleep and vaccines. So now if you're choosing to take a vaccine against any particular virus, you know, with a flu vaccine or for any other virus, it's interesting, because even, you know, chronic poor sleep, chronic short sleep has been shown to reduce the protection after vaccination against, you know, a vaccine for a virus like hepatitis B. So it's interesting that, again, our immune system is impacted by this poor sleep, even if we're looking at making choices to support our immune function with that kind of choice. So interesting how, yeah, not getting that proper repair and rejuvenation with sleep. And there's so many reasons why that could be impacted. And then, of course, as well, going back to the gut, you know, disruptions in your microbiome, that beneficial bacteria absolutely has an impact. And that can also be impacted by, you know, what we put in our mouth, you know, in terms of more sugar, more alcohol. This, they can also really reduce all of those functions and those processes that, when it comes to our T cells, our neutrophils, our white blood cells, and how they are able to deal with different pathogens in our body too. So we do have to watch, you know, again, you know, how many times do we talk about it, Lisa, you know, our stress, our sleep, what we eat, these things have a huge impact on how you feel and how your body functions.
Sure. Yeah. Because so many women during this time are, you know, it's basically survival mode, and that feels like there's no time for yourself. So a lot of times, then people reach for sugary treats or alcohol at night because that's the way they unwind or relax. And that's what they feel they just have time for, right? But then it can impact our sleep and our immunity as well. So looking at, we even know, like, social connection, having pleasure, play, joy, community with the oxytocin as well is going to boost your immune system. So even if you make a short call to a friend, if you dance to a favorite song, sign up for something for yourself, like, those feel-good hormones are going to strengthen your immune system. And then you're less likely to make choices to that may then not serve you, right? And if we're filling our cup up in ways that actually, you know, fill it up in a good way, we're probably going to be okay when it comes to going to bed a little bit early. We're like, oh, I did something for myself, even if it was 5 or 10 minutes that was enjoyable and nourishing at the same time. So that can make a big difference. And then one thing to note as well, so Tylenol can downregulate our immune system, right? There can be a time and a place, like when you have a fever, it's actually your body's way, it's resetting your body's temperature, which makes your body unfavorable for those microbes, the viruses, bacteria, and pathogens to grow. And it's a signal for the immune system to fight off the infection. Of course, we get worried if fevers are in really young infants, we don't know why, or if there's a really, really high fever, or if your kid's in discomfort and can't sleep, and you know how they kind of freak out when they have a fever sometimes, then maybe you'd consider giving Tylenol or taking Tylenol yourself if you have some of those symptoms. But we have this knee-jerk reaction. Okay, I'm sick, I feel achy and off, maybe I have a low-grade fever, I'm just going to take the Tylenol cold and sinus or cold and flu or straight Tylenol. And it's not always the best choice because that downregulates our immune system and it interferes with our immune response to that organism. And, you know, potentially, is it prolonging the illness? Is it making our immune system reaction dysregulated? And even if people are getting vaccines, they used to recommend just give your kid Tylenol right after the vaccine so they're not uncomfortable, but they're moving away from that. The World Health Organization, I believe, says, you know, don't give Tylenol after a vaccine if you don't have to, because that's going to interfere with the immune activity and the immune memory to that virus, what you've been given the vaccine for. So we just want to be careful with how we may be downregulating the immune system and interfering with that natural response, that natural fever, and fighting off the infection.
Yeah, that's a really important piece to really remember. And it's, I mean, it's interesting because as you're talking, Lisa, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have any Tylenol in the house. I mean, if there is anything that I'll use, and if I really, really need to with Frankie or anyone else, it may be Advil, because Tylenol depletes glutathione, which is my favorite antioxidant that impacts liver function, impacts immune function. And absolutely, avoiding Tylenol, especially around vaccines, is something that I talked about with Dr. Taylor Bean ages ago when it comes to vaccine optimization. So we'll make sure to I'll post a link to that in our show notes too. It's important not to fear fever. I'll post that link to that episode as well, where oftentimes, you know, we're so afraid of having a high fever. But again, that fever is an important piece of the immune function too. So that could even be something that you may want to support and increase your body's temperature a little bit to make sure that your immune system is functioning properly as well. I mean, something really basic too is also, you know, there's some really basic blood work that you can get done with a family doctor, medical doctor, or naturopathic doctor to look at, you know, just even checking your white blood cell levels with a complete blood count with differential to really make sure that you do have those building blocks, you do have enough of what you need to manage that activity of your immune system as well. And you can always look, does it make sense to check out where your hormones are at, whether it's with blood work or whether it's with like something like the Dutch comprehensive urine hormone testing to see, okay, where's your levels of estrogen at? Where's your levels of progesterone at? Especially if you are considering some hormone support that way to really support your immune function, as well as to, again, look at other symptoms of how you're experiencing perimenopause as you go into menopause.
All good tests to consider, as well as your vitamin D levels, which we've talked a lot about, and we can link to that episode. But vitamin D is a pro-hormone, and we need the right levels to have a strong and effective immune response. So vitamin D deficiency, the three main symptoms include infection, depression, and pain. And so many people here in Canada are undiagnosed with vitamin D deficiency. Maybe you're taking 1,000 units a day with or without food. You want to take it with food, you still can be low, especially because we cover up with clothing, sunscreen. We have a lot of winter. So that's a really key piece to make sure your immune system is strong. So get that tested as well, and then supplement with a good quality vitamin D, taking it with food. And then you're probably, you know, familiar with some of the other immune supplements, vitamin C, vitamin A, zinc. And there's so many great herbs out there that have antiviral action. You know, I love elderberry. I love andrographis, oregano, licorice, St. John's wort. You want to talk with your healthcare practitioner because some of these may be contraindicated in certain conditions, meaning you shouldn't use them. You know, licorice if you have high blood pressure. St. John's wort can influence how you metabolize other medications and may make you more sensitive to the sun. But there's so many great options out there if you have a virus. And then there's so many great ones to help your immune system work more effectively, like astragalus and echinacea, and so many great medicinal mushrooms as well, like reishi, chaga, maitake. So we have a lot of great options. We, you know, nature doesn't have to let ourselves kind of be wiped out if we get sick and not recover, because we have, nature provides us with a lot of the tools to help us get better in terms of the herbal combination, sunshine, rest, play, sleep, eating properly, hydrating properly. These all play a huge role.
Absolutely. And, you know, doing some of those nutrients, making sure that you're getting them in food. A lot of people are surprised that, you know, green vegetables have vitamin C in them. So that's a way of getting a good amount of vitamin C. I'm also a big fan for busy parents of doing IV nutrient therapy. That can be a nice way to get a good boost of some of those nutrients and help to support the immune system. But again, you can absolutely support that on a daily basis with supplementation, with looking at the foods that you're eating, and even, you know, again, like things like garlic, ginger, onions, you know, chicken noodle soup. Again, those components when it comes to supporting the gut function and your gut biome can be really key for helping with that. And really, again, even like the basics, Lisa, are really important to remember, like washing your hands.
I don't normally do it properly.
Simple hygiene is, and I, you know, I'm always on Frankie with this too, like washing your hands with soap and, you know, really thoroughly, especially before you eat. But even like, you know, as soon as you come in the door is a great thing to do. Yeah, that simple hygiene is important. Like blowing your nose or even, you know, doing a bit of a sinus rinse or a neti pot. If you've been outside, if you've been in an area where, you know, you could be have exposed to viruses, that kind of thing. That's a favorite of mine to do, as well as even to do with Frankie, to do a little like nasal spray after she's been indoors and playing with a lot of kids or that kind of thing. Absolutely. And of course,
Xylitol nasal spray, right? I think we've talked about the Xylitol nasal spray, the Exlear. They have ones with just xylitol and saline, or one with, like, you know, different antimicrobial essential oils in there too. So there's specific ones for kids, and the bee propolis throat spray is great to bring when you're traveling or if someone around you is sick or you start to feel a scratchy throat. They have one specific for kids too. You know, if a kid is under one, you don't want to give them raw honey, but this would be propolis, so that's different. And then kids' nails, right? It's annoying to cut their fingernails, especially on their, you know, toes, but the toes aren't as infectious or containing germs like their fingernails, right? So we want to keep them nice and short, kind of scrubbing with an old toothbrush under their nails once in a while as well, because the germs can get trapped under there too.
Absolutely. And you know, there's some nice teas like a throat coat tea, you know, slippery elm teas, echinacea teas that you can have and add some honey that has antiviral properties. Especially something like a Manuka honey can be really great to, again, soothe the mucous membranes and keep everyone nice and hydrated too. And speaking of hydrated, I'm a big fan of hydrotherapy. Not only doing something like neti pots or sinus rinses, looking at doing steam inhalations, wet sock treatments, you know, hot baths, or saunas, or again, even exercise to increase your temperature and support your immune system. All of those things are so great to do. And we've definitely talked about them before. And I even like to keep a few homeopathic remedies on hand at home, you know, something simple like oxalococcinum, which is really readily available and can be great for sign of flu, but even colds as well. Or even a single homeopathic like aconite is really fantastic to take kind of first sign of getting sick, especially like with a scratchy throat or something like that. So, you know, I love to have those kind of simple things on hand to take, you know, as well as, you know, doing the hydrotherapy and wet socks and all of those fun naturopathic things.
All great recommendations, Tony. Yeah, there's so many good options out there. And I love like all, yeah, the hydrotherapy too. It makes such a huge difference. And then I touched on, you know, exercise a little bit. A lot of times in perimenopause, because of the body changes that are happening, so many people, so many women over exercise, right? Or under exercise because they're too busy and overwhelmed, or they're not sleeping and they're so tired. I usually see it either or. It's hard to find someone who's kind of in that sweet spot of getting, you know, the right amount and getting rest days and recovery too, because we know over exercising and under exercising are both bad for our immune system. We need to have, you know, the right amounts and listen to our body and have recovery time as well. Some researchers found that performing aerobic exercise at a moderate to vigorous intensity for under 60 minutes, maybe about 30, 45 minutes, increases the recruitment and circulation of the immune cells. Moderate intensity exercise can reduce inflammation, but prolonged bouts of high intensity exercise can increase inflammation. And a lot of people, you know, if they go from not exercising to signing up for that half marathon or marathon, it's a big jump for them, and their body can have a hard time adjusting. So you want to kind of increase your intensity of exercise at a rate that feels good for you, and make sure that, you know, your breath rate, your breathing, your heart rate's going up, but you're not overdoing it, right? You want to make sure you're challenging yourself, but that you're not exercising 7 days a week. I see women are like, oh, I can't lose weight. So they're exercising 6 days a week, super high intensity, and that's just not going to serve you well.
Yeah, it just absolutely can produce too much inflammation and create more stress, because absolutely, you know, exercise and physical activity, moving your body, can be a great way of reducing stress, reducing tension, and supporting, you know, mental health as well. But again, that balance is important, Lisa. So I think we talked a lot about how we can support our immune system in perimenopause. What do you think?
I think so. I think we have hope and we're here for a while, nature. So you're not getting rid of us.
There you go. I love it. Now, Lisa, I know you're a great mom. Do you have a super mom moment to share with us this week?
I do. Yeah. So, and so going back, we were talking about in a previous episode about not buying everything like stuff, right? Like keeping it simpler, like being easier on the environment. We were talking about sustainability. So this year for Stuart's present, we decided to buy him an experience. And this may backfire. I'll get to that in a moment. But we were like, he hasn't been on a plane and he hasn't stayed in a hotel. So first of all, the three presents he wanted that he told his friend, I heard this through the friend's dad, he wants a baby brother. Not going to happen. He wants a pet. Not quite there yet. Or he wants to stay at a hotel. So I was like, okay, we can maybe make the hotel thing work. But we decided to make it like a family trip. So we're going to go away for one night to Niagara Falls. And they have a special deal this time of the year where you get the hotel and a water park pass for 2 days at a really good rate. So we gave that to him as his present. But then I was like, maybe he's going to expect something bigger next year, because we're not going to do this every year. So then we reframed it to say, okay, well, the water park is your present and the hotel is like our family getaway for the night. So hopefully next year he's not going to expect like a Walt Disney trip or something. So, you know, we're being sustainable in terms of not buying stuff or buying him a toy that he's just going to set on the shelf after playing with for 30 minutes. But expectations might be a little bit high for next year.
It's all about managing expectations and how you communicate it, right, Lisa? So that's awesome. I love that idea of the experience instead of, you know, just junky toys, right?
And I know, Tony, you're doing an amazing job, but can you think of a mama mess up?
Yeah, absolutely, Lisa. I can think of a mama mess up. Especially, you notice I have a big Band-Aid on my hand today. And I think it's the universe punishing me for getting Frankie this like really ridiculously big blue ice cream cone from Marble Slab the other day. It was kind of cold and miserable. So we went to the mall, and we were just, you know, it was a little bit of adventure, just, you know, really looking at everything, exploring and actually exploring the Bass Pro Shop, which was actually a really great part of that. But anyway, the universe punished me with the blue ice cream cone, and I scraped my hand on this like metal piece by the cashier. And then even, you know, Frankie had this ridiculously, and again, TMI maybe for some people, but again, we talk about poo all the time here, but she had this ridiculously strange green poo the next day. And so I think that was all of the blue dye coming out. So anyway, I did not feel like a super mom at that point.
She enjoyed the ice cream, right?
Oh, yeah. She enjoyed the ice cream for sure.
I know. Blows me away. When it's cold out, Stuart wants an ice cream cone. Like, we went to the distillery one day and I'm like, do you want a nice hot chocolate? It was a cold day. I'm like, no, I want an ice cream cone. So Frankie's strange. The same. You're still doing a great job, Tony.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Lisa. And then what's your mama must have for this week?
Yeah, so because there's been more germs going around, I've been disinfecting things around the house, and I like a combination of tea tree oil, essential oil of lemon, some vinegar and water, and I spray that on, you know, a paper towel or a cloth, and I wiped a lot of things down this weekend, including, you know, our television remote, cell phone, handles on the doors, on the cupboards. Like, I was just being extra careful because there's so much going around at Stuart's school, and he has a little bit of a mild illness. He's okay now that he's back to school, but I just wanted to make sure Pete and I didn't get it. So, and it smells really fresh and nice too. So that's a combination of tea tree oil, lemon oil, vinegar, and water in a spray bottle, like maybe about 10 drops each of the tea tree and lemon oil, and then half vinegar, half water. And then I really like the Nellie's brand. They have like a little bar soap for stain. So with kids, right, they're constantly dropping things on their clothes, getting like grass stains. Here, we don't have any snow, so he's been playing soccer outside and he got a lot of grass stains. So it's a great one to get the stains out without chemicals. And Tony, what's your must have?
Well, I love that. I bet your house smells delicious right now, Lisa. my mama must have something that I highly recommend, and I took the time to do it and was just fantastic, is carving out time to go for a float. Again, I'm a big fan of hydrotherapy. I love the water. I love Epsom salts. I love magnesium. And thankfully, fairly close by, there's a float place I go to, Redox Wellness here in Calgary. And it was just a lovely time just to, again, be by myself, float, get those Epsom salts, help to relax the muscles and all the tension, and again, have that me time. So it was just really lovely way of taking care of my body and myself. So highly recommended, again, to do your best to carve out some time to do that.
Amazing, Tony. I still have to go for a float. I haven't been to one, but I love hydrotherapy too. Take me to the spa, the plunge pools any day. But thanks for the reminder. I'm going to have to book one.
Absolutely. And then what else is happening with us? Well, again, I have my self-hypnosis class for supporting relaxation and hormone balance coming up just in a couple of weeks. So go to our show notes for a link and a special deal for that. And thanks for listening today, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Again, you can find our show notes wherever you're listening to this podcast and on our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. You can connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love for you to subscribe. Leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And tell your friends about us too. Stay safe and healthy, everyone.